Our first speaker is Dr. Stephen Barnett. Dr. Barnett is a pediatrician and consultant. He is a fellow of AAP, ACP, and ASHA, which is the American School Health Association. He has over 35 years working with school health and has two academic careers, one as a division director for school and community health, and he also has 10 years in rural private practice. Dr. Barnett is active in AAP in the community and school health and in the American School Health Association. He is going to talk about how to successfully work with schools. Welcome, Dr. Barnett.
Good afternoon. Is everybody awake?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, well, it's a real pleasure to be here, and I consider it a high honor to be invited to this conference. It has an excellent reputation and is very well thought of, and it's a real pleasure to be here. I hope to briefly cover some approaches and skills that we might have to work better with schools and the American and the practicing community in terms of improving our immunization rates, especially amongst adolescents. Let me get started here. I sort of put together this little Venn diagram. I'm not very artistic, so bear with me. But I think the most important thing for us to remember is why we're doing all of that, and that's for kids, and that we sometimes get terribly wrapped up in the programmatics and politics of what we're trying to accomplish, and sometimes we don't realize that what we're really trying to do is reach a population of children. And of course, trying to reach a population of adolescent children adds a real challenge. So during my talk, I'm going to maybe refer back to this, because there's a lot of important interactions that go on in between public health and schools when you're trying to put together a school immunization program. But it also interfaces with the practicing community and medical homes. And medical homes have their own relationship with the schools. And so I hope that you can remember this sort of Venn diagram as you go about doing school-based adolescents immunizations. Briefly, I'm going to talk a little bit about the relationships between medicine and public health and schools. In the early part of the last century, there was a very strong relationship. Physicians back then didn't have a lot of the tools that they have today. Public health was more elemental, but they had a very strong foundation in schools, and as a matter of fact, the American School Health Association was formed back in 1927. However, as we moved into the 30s, I think there was a pullback where medicine pulled back away from public health and from schools and school health. And that went on for almost 35 or 40 years. That in itself has its own history, but it was definitely to the detriment of children in our country. Then in the mid-70s, we began seeing school-based primary care take place. Kids that weren't getting health care, we found a mechanism of delivering primary care to kids. And in the 80s, the whole concept of coordinated school health began to arrive on the scene, where we look at 8 different elements of health that specifically can address and reduce risk factors that account for most of the amenable mortality and chronic disease in our country. So it's time for us to get back together. And I think that I'm really pleased with what I've seen just in my career. I've been doing this since the early 70s. And the the relationship between public health and schools, I think, has gotten back on course. And I just want to see that continue. And I guess the other thing I wanted to say was that I feel that people in immunization have really led the charge on this. They've showed the medical community as well as the public health community how to best begin establishing better relationships in schools. Now the fact is that most schools live under a state law that requires them to have certain immunization standards in their schools. And so schools really rely on public health and on the medical home community to ensure that their students are getting immunized. Similarly, public health and practitioners rely on the schools to get their immunization rates up. So it turns out that, you know, overall, I don't think immunization rates in our country is something that we're particularly proud of, particularly when you try and stack us up with other developed nations. We need to improve. And the improvement requires change, which requires action, which requires advocacy. And each of these different partners, is playing a major role. So it's not going to be just the schools that suddenly fling open their doors and hire new nurses, and it's not going to be public health all of a sudden jumping in, or the practicing community. We've got to work on this together. I took real note of two of our three plenary speakers this morning talked about partnerships and about herds and herd immunity and how that's how we need to get there. I think that's really appropriate for us in our discussions this afternoon as well. So what's the problem here? Our problem is that in America, we don't have a system for primary prevention. You know, we don't have a network, a physical network, or a platform around which to have primary prevention. But we could. We could. We could start with immunizations in our schools and have that in every school district in the nation. Now, in addition to immunizations, there's other chronic risk and behavioral factors that if we could reduce those factors, we could improve our amenable mortality and reduce chronic disease. So I guess I'm making a plea today that when you go to schools and the practicing community about immunizations, think about other ways in which you can work with these institutions to advance the health of children, particularly in the areas of primary prevention around obesity, chronic lung disease, things that we can make a difference in. Finally, schools are beginning to recognize, and I think this is a major change, they are beginning to recognize that healthier students do better academically. We're beginning to see, I think, almost six of the eight elements of coordinated school health. There have been controlled trials showing improved not only health status, but improved academic performance associated with that improved health status. And increasingly, I think our educators are coming to realize this. So, as somebody said earlier this morning, that's kind of the 10,000 foot view of things. And what I'd like to talk about a little bit now is more on the local level. I think it's important that we do think globally, but we have to act locally. And I want to talk a little bit about some areas about schools and immunizations that may be useful in local school districts, and then also talk about that a little bit at the state and the regional level. I guess the first thing I learned, I helped to put together a migrant health program in Colorado about 35 years ago, and we did it in our schools. And I was really amazed because I found that I was working in a culture that was totally different than the medical school in Denver. And it was a lesson that I've really tried to remember. So when we as health workers go into the educational environment, I think we need to be respectful of the fact that we're in a different domain and that there's sometimes different values and priorities in that domain. And while public healthers, we think we're doing the school a favor with our immunization programs, and we are doing them a favor. You know, we are. School immunization always has a cost associated with it. It takes away from educational time, it takes away from resources, and at some level that's resented. And I think we need to recognize that. It's not an unfounded or unreasonable resentment. Another area that I think is really important to consider is that if you set up a school immunization program, it may in fact directly conflict with the medical community. Sometimes medical homes use the hook of immunizations to get kids in to do well child exams. Dr. Tao talked about going through the whole sequence of Bright Futures now with children during health checkups. And these cover a lot of these other areas that we're so lacking in primary prevention. But they do address risk factors, behavioral risk factors, which if they're addressed early can be avoided and can significantly reduce behaviors that then result in chronic disease and premature mortality. So one of the things that at least in my experience has worked, whether it's because you need to do influenza immunizations or you need to go in and do selective immunizations against meningococcemia, is if you join together with the local medical community and then jointly as public health and the practicing community go to the school district, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable about that. School district doesn't want to be at odds with their local medical society. They have to rely heavily on medical homes and practitioners in terms of kids' chronic disease, as well as whatever prevention programs they might want to aspire to. So I'm just thinking that it's real important when you come up with a proposal for school immunizations that you think about including the medical community with you. So let me just go on and mention a few of these other things. There's some very practical